Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode. What up, what up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall with my guys, Rohit, Mike, and Robbie to talk about some kicks. What's good, fellas? How you doing? It's been a while. I feel like we haven't had the four of us for months.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Cue the mace.
Robbie's back. Tell a friend.
I just saw Rohit adjusting his camera. I swear I was watching the Blair Witch Project for a second. It's just like,
yeah.
He's everywhere.
I'm like Manu Ginobili, just perky jerky. That's your favorite spur, right? No, I'm just happy to have my guys back, like Nick always says. Robbie, how are you doing?
I'm good. It was interesting to see what song we all thought of, because I went Aaliyah. It's been a long time. Should have left you. So, Mike, what was your song that you thought of when you heard it?
Absolutely nothing. I thought of no song.
Nick, did you think of a song after you said it? Or is it just for like...
Oh, Mace. Isn't it Mace? What's the...
Mace
comeback song? Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
There you go.
We are the modern day sweat hogs. Shout outs to Welcome Back, Cotter. And I think who's the oldest person in the Discord that's going to get that reference? Yourself Werther's candy because you're old.
We just dated all of ourselves. Great.
Yeah.
Don't put me in there. I have no idea what Robert's talking about.
So. Exactly. The Barbarino of the bunch. Mr. John Travolta of sneakers.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about some KD stuff. Mr. Kevin Durant, Mr. Easy Money Sniper, Mr.
Pew, pew.
Probably one of the loosest cannons on Twitter that we've ever seen, to be honest. He's cleaned it up in his older age, but shoot your shot.
The king of burners. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. The king of burners.
Can't be mad at him, right? It's like, you know what? He has time all the time.
Now, I was going to say, at this point, his tweets may be more memorable than some of his recent shoes, because I think we all know where we were when he dropped the infamous, I would take a shot of Scarlett Johansson's bathwater tweet.
That one shows up at least once a year somewhere. Yep. I'm like, man, yep. KD, you must be kicking yourself for that one.
Why? He's not wrong. But that's a different story, though, right? But the shoes.
Different podcast.
I mean, Nick brought up nicknames. There was a recent KD in the last two models. Forgot which one. But it was like a nod to the Slim Reaper, and he hated that nickname for a long time. And there was like a Slim Reaper shoe.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
So, I mean, I remember that he was trying to repurpose the Slim Reaper shoe to be the servant, and we all as a society just looked at him like, what are we doing?
Stop it. Stop it, KD.
Yep. So when you think of the KD signature line, what's the first thing you think about?
KD 4s. I mean, I feel like that was a real coming out party for the KD line was the 4. I could be wrong. I'm willing to, you know, take the L on that one, but I feel like the KD 4 was the most memorable and still the most memorable model of the, 16, 15, what are we at now? I still can't remember.
16. That was definitely up there for me, the KD 4. I mean, that's probably my favorite shoe from the line. I like this. I like the 2 as well, but.
The 7.
7.
I like the 7. The 7's a super low one, right?
That was 6. 7 had the strap across the toe,
7
right?
Has... Yeah,
oh, yeah. 7's got, like, the foamposite, right?
Yeah, on the back. Yeah.
I like that one, too.
That was a good one.
Well, before we just start rattling off the random ones, let's go to number 1. Because, I mean, the number 1, to me, is always memorable as the one he wore in Seattle, right? Like, the one...
His one and only. And I was going to say this, that for me, the most memorable thing about KD's shoe legacy is the fact that he was the first one in what I consider to be that new era of the three wise men of the Kobe, LeBron, KD. And he was the one that essentially mirrored his progress in the league along with his shoes, because when the KD one came out, I think we were all very pleasantly surprised by the price point at which it came out with. And it was a very good looking shoe for what it was. And I think it kind of grew alongside the stature of the player itself. So completely agree with Robbie and the one.
Yeah. And so I was looking at the shoes, like the first thing that comes to mind for me is like the 4, obviously, is like
especially because it just came back. It's a big deal again, right? People are talking about it. But the thing that popped into my head as I was like kind of just glancing at the list, the shoe that he won his second MVP and the finals MVP in, I couldn't even remember what that shoe looked like. KD 10.
I have a pair in the closet, so I coincidentally did. But you're right, 10. It's not memorable.
Because it looks a lot like the 9, right? Or it's very similar. Has most of the color palette was like that back half was one color, the front half was some sort of knit. And I know that a lot of the signature shoes do this. But I think like it's like that's the thing that stands out when I just start thinking about it. It's like, damn, this shoe is like arguably the most important time in his life and his story. But most people are not going to like the average non KD fan is not going to look at KD shoes and be like, oh, that's the 8, 9, 10, 11. Right. They're going to be like, those are I only picked up one pair of those.
I think it's very funny that around that time is when he went to Golden State to help push them over the edge. And a lot of people agree that he was the one that won them those two titles in the middle of their reign. Yeah. But ironically, much like the same reason why he arguably left Golden State, which was he was never going to outshine the Curry or outshine Steph Curry. I think most people are going to remember that era for Steph Curry breaking up the duopoly, if you will, of Nike and Adidas, because he was a little engine that could. And I think more people have memories associated with the Steph Curry shoe at that moment than they do the KD, which is saying something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, you have a good point, because I sit there and I was just looking at the shoes. I mean, when you look at 8, 9, and 10, they all have very similar design language. I mean, there's differences as the line evolved. But the last thing I remember was the KD 8, like anything outside of the 4 in the sense of like, oh, I remember this moment. I remember the crazy KD 8 Elite that had like the super long neoprene sock on it, but he wore for like a practice. I don't know if you ever remember that when he was still at OKC. That's the only other just like besides the 4, this weird KD sneaker moment I remember, because I can't associate KD with any, you know, oh, this dunk wearing this shoe or this championship wearing this shoe. I don't have that same, you know, recollection like I can do with Jordan or can do with LeBron. I can do with other players. It's just KD as a player. The shoes didn't reflect to me the greatness that KD is and was at the time.
So devil's advocate, is that because you maybe watched less basketball during those eras? Like, because
no,
to me,
watched
I think
a ton of it. That's the thing.
Because I definitely watched less. Maybe, I don't know, I guess not. Like, I still was watching because I was in Detroit working for StockX. So, we were, like, tied in with the Cavs for that whole run. So, people were giving me shit because I was rooting for the Warriors. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, the other moment, kind of going back to the shoes themselves, right? The KD2... I remember specifically had that creamsicle moment where everybody at OKC wore the orange pair. Not everybody was a Nike athlete, but like everybody wore all orange shoes for that night, which was super dope to kind of see the support from the squad. And I think like, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but like I definitely probably appreciated KD's game more in the first 4 or 5 years of his career than I did in the latter part of his career. I mean, not even the mid part of his career, let's say.
I think KD's kind of got this curse. He makes basketball look ridiculously easy. And for longtime listeners, I always kind of bring this point up, especially around the likes of a Kobe or Tracy McGrady. Like, the great players make you realize that they're playing a completely different sport at a completely different speed. And that's kind of what KD's blessing and curse is. Because in the Lost episode that listeners will never get to hear, we kind of made this joke that KD will never overwhelm you with his athleticism. It's always going to be subtle. He is the epitome of death by paper cuts, and he's very surgical. And as a friend of mine once put it, he's going to 8 points a quarter you to death. Because it's going to be the most boring, most efficient 8 points in a quarter. And you're just going to look up, you're like, holy crap, he did this for like 8 straight quarters, which is 2 games. And that's his brilliance. Yeah. And that's ultimately, I think, where the frustration with KD lies. Because we want him to be this transcendent scorer, but he is already that. It's just he's not the most aesthetically pleasing. And I think that metaphor kind of applies to his shoes, because from some of the preliminary research that I did, it almost seems that the narrative around the shoe is it's a very technically tuned shoe that will do a lot of great things on the basketball court. But like KD, there's just something missing, a certain panache and charisma, which is also ironic considering the fact that I think it was a KD 6. The whole marketing line was KD is not nice. And it kind of went against, it zagged against the zig that was the prevailing notion and narrative around KD. So that's him to me in a nutshell, is he's this confounding player that you can't really put a finger on, but that's to his detriment more than it is to his advantage.
Yeah. And they tried to push that for a while, because I think even the KD 7 at the Bad Apple colorway, just trying to really push that almost kind of villainous role, you know, he's gonna kill you in the court. Like Rose said, the death by paper cuts is they were trying to push this aggression that KD is a competitive person. He has always been a competitive person, like you can tell by his play, but they're trying to push it over the top. And again, I feel like the big winner with his shoes, when we talk about any of the shoes in his line, I guess up until recently, was price point. It was friendly to those who, you know, wanted to be on the court but didn't want to spend the $200, or, well, I guess not back then, but the, you know, $150, $160 on a Kobe or LeBron. So that's why I gravitated initially, because, you know what, it looked good. The shoes don't look bad by any means, but the price points were what, like, drove you to it, what drove you to the KD4s. And, I mean, of course, the colors didn't hurt it. So, yeah, that's just kind of my take on that.
So, not to play devil's advocate for KD, but if you look at the shoes and look at what Nike was doing at any given time, I think the KD line really gets shoehorned into what Nike's doing. So like the KD9, right? Mm-hmm. Super Flyknit, like that style of Flyknit was on every type of shoe across every category. Same with the KD10. They start doing, well, the LeBron 10 kind of started that Zoom Max type thing, but like, all right, let's just keep repurposing that over and over again. Let's put it in like the Infinity React. I mean, not the Infinity React, the Infinities, the Zoom Infinities, whatever they're called. They have a little ankle. Basically, Nike wanted to put that same Zoom unit on everything. And when you think about price, if you order a million Air units like that and you're like, oh crap, we have these for Air Max. We have it for running. We still have like a million left. So let's put it on the KD line and it's going to work. But they're all slip-on, Flyknit, full-length Zoom Air shoes. And that's just kind of what Nike was doing at the time. 16, 2017, and then 2018, the exact same thing, but React had just came out. So let's cover the Zoom and React. They did that with every type of shoe in every category. Call it innovation, if you will. I won't. And then the Nike 12 in 2019, the Zoom Strobel, which is something new.
Yes.
And I think the KD 12 in 2019 did something aesthetically different. It broke the mold. It was hyper comfortable. I like that shoe a lot still now. But then 2020's KD 13, maybe. If 2020 is happening, that shoe was designed in 2018. So we really can't blame COVID. But 14 looks like KD's hairline in 2021. But then the 15, if we're talking about like the favorable shoes of the whole line, 7, and then maybe the 15 for me. I said 7 earlier, but 2022's KD 15. And I will even say last year's 16. I think the 17 just dropped. I think we're a little bit off. I think the 17 did come out already.
Well, no, 17 doesn't come. That's the one that looks like the two hair, right? Yeah, that's
the ugliest one. Okay, so.
So that one's not coming out until April. But
the 15 is a banger. Like, I almost bought that in a Kia Nurse colorway. They make that in so many different WNBA, college, all these different colorways. Well, his
PE was all the off-white Presto PE he had, because it had the cage on it. And awesome. I love that one. That was super clean, but it was a PE, of course.
But even like the launch colorways and the GRs that went on sale all looked good. But even still, unless you're playing a lot of basketball, I'm not going to pay even still $100 for basketball. Nothing wrong with it, but just like there was a low point. I think that's more Nike's fault and the direction of the brand than KD or the designer or the colors team or anything like that. It's like big brother telling you to do something one way and doing it that way.
I mean, I think that's a great point though, like, because if you think about the other signature shoes, the other team shoes that are at that time, right, like all of them had, I mean, LeBron always has this kind of unique twist on it, but like his battle knit and all that stuff is like, it's the same vibe. I think that, like, looking at the KD line, 100% with you, like the 7 with that like foam posit kind of thing around the back collar, the 15, I love the 4. I actually like the 2 quite a bit, super simple, but and I love the is it the 3 had that little piece of fly wire in the front, but there was a few colorways that had like a woven panel behind the swoosh, which were super dope.
Which every shoe did at the time, though. Like,
but yeah, every shoe at the time definitely had some version of that. I think the colorways on the KD3 were really good, though. Like, that was the first that, like, you kind of saw him go a little crazy with it. And then obviously the KD4 had bananas colorways and collabs. Official partnership with Nerf is kind of unheard of at that time, too, right? Like, nobody had really done that to that extent.
If the yellow stoplight went on sale, I saw even an alert yesterday that they were restocked. I just don't want to pay one. I think they're 140 or 160.
160.
I saw 140. It could be different prices.
But so either way,
the difference.
I don't want a shoe that's 12 years old for that much that I'm not going to use for any technical purpose. They're going to be like heel steppers when he keeps stepping on the heel like Roa does and it just collapses.
Well, crazy enough. So I know we were talking about another shoe earlier that we just don't see on foot anywhere. At least I didn't see on foot anywhere. Have you guys seen anyone actually wearing the KD 3 or 4 retros? I have seen literally zero individuals, not even in like social media posts of anyone wearing this shoe at all. They just bought them and just like bought them. Like Robbie made a good point when we were talking on the initial recording of this where the KD4, although it has this nostalgic value to it, it didn't really hold up, I guess, really in today's fashion. And it kind of made me realize that, God dang it, you know what? I would never wear it if I bought it because I would just have it sitting up in my office in like a nice little case of remembrance because it doesn't actually hold up to, you know, I guess the design standard of what we like to wear now.
I'll quote myself then. I don't want to go there, but it's a big banana shaped silver shoe
just with a
strap that covers the entire shoe that doesn't have great middle foot, 4 foot, like, and that, okay, has great grip. KD4 got some grip.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But like, what are you gripping at Vons or Walmart when you're like grocery shopping? Like, who cares?
In the medicine line,
exactly. But just that material is super plasticky, and when you put the silver on it, it looks just like someone duct taped something. Like, you know what I'm talking about, though? Like, you make a duct tape wallet.
Repair my shoe real fast. Hold on.
you're speaking to engineers in the 8th grade everywhere where they think the only thing of fashion is duct taping everything, and that's their identity. So that's what KD made, essentially, is what you're saying.
Duct tape wallet.
But, I mean, it was iconic at the time because, I mean, in the All-Star game with the red jerseys, he's playing next to Kobe. They're all like the theme of all the shoes. So if you put the KD4 Galaxy out without the foam posit and the Kobe and the LeBron 9 and the Flight 1 and the Dunks, yada, 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 is it that cool of a shoe if it doesn't have the whole ambiance of like a squad with it? It's like the Monstars pulling up.
Yeah, he's a really tall dude. He's the tall blue one.
He's the tall blue one. He's Sean Bradley.
He's Sean Bradley.
No, but that's disrespectful to Kevin Durant. I'm sorry.
And Sean Bradley. He's a paraplegic. Right? We've got to put some respect on his name.
But it's the same thought, though. Like, there's a character for everybody, but they're not all the same character. That Galaxy shoe, or even, you know, the yellow KD3 that it's referred to. Nick, that's one of your favorite ones, but it came out next to a green Kobe that's way cooler and a red LeBron 9. Because it had the Grinch angle to it. But the other two is just like a red LeBron and a yellow KD, like, but together, the sum of its parts are great, you know, not greater.
But to a point you made earlier, Robbie, around his positioning amongst the Kobe and LeBrons of it all, I think he had to kind of take everything that Nike gave him because he was not at the same size and stature as Kobe and LeBron were at that moment. He didn't have, let's say, that final editorial say to say, no, I want my shoe to have this technology, not this technology that you're wrapping into every other category except for the premium signature product. So that, to me, is his legacy. Is he's kind of this little brother figure, really different. And I'm still not bitter about this 35 years later, Uday. So even though he wants to come across as the older brother, first, he's got middle brother energy because he can do whatever he wants and nobody really bats an eyelid other than to put him down. So he's Jan Brady in a sense. But then he also was at his peak of his powers when he was in Oklahoma City because that was a perfect environment for him. They grew together. And that's something I keep coming back to when it comes to KD's legacy, whether it be on the basketball court or on the shoe line.
Well, I guess my only argument with that, with, you know, with Nike and just the way his, well, not argument, but my question, I should say, when Kyrie kind of slid in as like the little baby of the group, and I say that in the sense of the youngest of getting his signature line, because he was what, I guess, number four in that grouping, kind of off to the side, I feel like his line came in stronger from the start than what KD did.
Mike, not only that, like if we do the Kyrie equivalent of this episode, I think a lot of people are going to say that the first memorable shoe for them from a Kyrie perspective, A, might be number one, which makes sense. It's a radically different shoe than anything else that was on the market at that point, especially from a Nike basketball perspective. Mm-hmm. But two is the Kyrie 2, which almost seems like the updated version of the Kyrie 4, especially when you've got a more refined duct tape, as the gentleman to my right had said.
Definitely.
I mean, I think you nailed it, though.
It's so much different.
I think you nailed it, though, with the kid brother kind of situation, right? Because even in the advertising, in the marketing, Nike was always putting Kobe and LeBron together. KD was never a part of that. And by the time they came around and said, hey, he's not a nice guy, to Mike's point, two signature shoes of that similar marketing, he was also going through injuries. He had kind of lost the energy that he had with Russell and Harden in OKC. Harden, yeah. But I think that's why everything fell on the colorways. The colorways had to drive the business, which with the four, you know, with the three and the four, I think they did initially. But like nobody was buying that first KD shoe other than for the fact, to your point, that it was cheap. It was like $79 or something. And it was a great shoe for $79. I remember Zach Dubasic wrote the review on it. The performance review on it for East Bay blog back in the day. And I uploaded it and I was like, oh shit, I need to go buy a pair of these because they were so cheap and they performed so well. I think the other thing is Nike's been hesitant to put that kind of effort into marketing. Honestly, every brand has, right? Like every brand has been scared to really say, this is our guy and we're running with our guy to the top. Until we got to Ant, like Anthony Edwards is the only person that any brand has done that with in recent years. And I'm not talking about I think the new Kyrie looks pretty cool. I'm not talking about the newer younger brands. I'm talking about the
established
top, traditional the 3-4 almost.
Right? D-Rose.
D-Rose had maybe a little bit
for a moment,
but like
for a moment,
but like D-Rose's window of opportunity was so short because of his injuries. Like, look, I collected D-Rose out of the gate. I have D-Rose. Mm-hmm. I have team issued Memphis Tiger pro models for D-Rose. I was into D-Rose in school. I remember seeing him in high school and I was thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to change everything. Because deep down, all I want to see is a guard that's Iverson size, Curry size, but plays like D-Rose. That's what I want. That excites me when I watch basketball. But I think that's the issue, right? D-Rose didn't get enough. But to your point about the KD line, I think if you look at the D-Rose line, there are four or five out of the 10 or 11 that actually had that, wow, this is a really different shoe every single time. Maybe not completely different, but enough to where people are going to pay attention to it. And so I think the other thing with D-Rose, last thing, is that the line came slightly too early, because had it come out and Boost would have been involved in those early shoes, it would have been a game changer. But Boost didn't come around until after they were three and a half shoes into it. And it just was too late to pull that.
We got to do another episode on those. I can talk about D-Roses all day.
Adidas, I really wish Adidas would have signed KD. I've always thought this. Because to the point Mike and everybody's brought up, it was LeBron and Kobe. Look at what just happened with Steph Curry when he left Nike. Look at what James Harden did when he left Nike. I think KD should have left Nike. It signed with Adidas initially and be like, could you imagine D-Rose and KD?
marketing. Maybe that partnership would have got those two together. Who knows? Yada, yada, yada. Boost.
The Quiet Assassins. But that's like, what it would be.
But I mean, they found a way to market a dude who's nonverbal. I mean, Derrick Rose is basically nonverbal in his early part of his career.
You get Ken Jeong in those commercials, do all the talking for him.
But exactly. But KD could have done the exact same crap. But I think KD could have had, like, after the KD 7, if there was a way out, if he would have done, like, a Curry or something and gone to another brand. Ironically,
he'd pull a Kobe, right? Like, you switch brands
mid-legacy.
Yeah. The other thing I'll go ahead, tight. Bobby.
Yeah, no, those leather shoes are tight when you leave. That's my end thought. It's just, you never know.
So before you say something, Rohit, KD signed a 10-year deal in 2014 with Nike. Okay. Is there a chance that he changes at this point?
No. I honestly like KD as a player. I've always liked watching KD. But something's telling me that I don't know. I just have this weird feeling with KD, just a lot of, with all of the team switching and things like that lately. I feel like we don't have that much longer of KD on the hardwood. I feel like he's going to be out of the spotlight soon. And like I say, it's not saying he's not playing, like, still at a superstar level, but I just think that I don't know. I just don't feel like we're going to get a ton more of KD in the next, you know, 5-ish years. So ride out that Nike deal. Keep retroing whatever they want to retro. I don't think they're going to retro anything more than the 3 and 4. Producing all those Flyknit shoes would just be, I think, a terrible move. I don't think people would buy them. So they would be out of money there. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. Something about just his attitude towards things. He's, like you said, he's becoming a grumpy old man. I just feel like he just doesn't want to be around the politics of basketball. Not really the game. He just wants to hoop. But he just, you can't do that.
I'm a do me. I'm a chill. The man's Twitter bio says it all.
I mean, you're right. That's it.
But see, Mike, I take the opposite view, because I think if there's one superstar's game that is going to age like a fine wine, it's his, because it doesn't require that athleticism.
Oh, no. I agree.
It doesn't require that athleticism. Sorry, fumbled the words there. But in an attempt to shoehorn every other Nike signature athlete when making a commentary on KD's legacy, the other thing I always find interesting with KD is, for all the stuff that he was initially promised to us as our basketball prince, there's one player that actually did everything we thought KD was going to do, and that's Giannis. He led a small market team by himself to an NBA title. And that was essentially what the blueprint and what the plan was about KD that Nike tried to sell us to various degrees. And I think that's one of those things that if you ask a modern sports fan, it's not unusual to say, I value Giannis's one title more than I value KD's two because of how he acquired them. And the other thing I'll say about KD and his legacy from a sneaker perspective, we were all kind of searching in our minds, like, okay, what has been the most memorable sneaker moment for KD, especially in this last half of his career, his last third, whatever you want to call it. And I'll say this, from a sneaker perspective, the thing that's most memorable to me is his time in Brooklyn when he and his running mate at the time, Kyrie, did a shoe swap idea where I believe it was the KD 14 Weatherman and the Kyrie 7 Dreams, or maybe I've got those backwards. Somebody will let me know. Thank you, my brother. And then at the same time, that was also the shoe that, because it was so long, it cost him a shot at winning a game 6 or a game 7 because he touched the line as opposed to being behind it. And that's KD's other career in a nutshell. It's just, he's so good at everything, but this tiny, minute detail almost always takes him out of those conversations of being the GOAT, which is fair or unfair, depending on how you want to look at it. But that is his legacy. And I think one thing we are trying to do as the proprietors of said narratives is we've done a great job remaining neutral about KD. And that's frustrating to some people. But then at the end of the day, that's KD, because whatever you say about him, he's shown an online persona to have various degrees of sensitivity that he's going to be in all of our mentions by the end of this episode and tell us why we were wrong. And that's also the KD legacy.
Kind of hope that happens. That'd be entertaining as all get out right there.
That would be amazing. I mean, I think KD, I don't think KD's going to stop playing anytime soon. Like, I mean, if you could think of like the perfect six man, this man could literally just stack rings if he finds the right team for the next 5 years.
He could do 20 years as Sam Perkins 2.0, which is blasphemy because this is Kevin freaking Durant that we're talking about.
But see, that's one of the things. It's not about his game, I say that, because, like, I completely agree. His game, except for, like, some weird freak accidents, is not super impactful on his body for being such a big person. Like, he's very smooth with it. He's not forcing, like, let me just, dunk and try to be Zion out there. He can play, like I say, he can have that, oh, God, I hate to say this name out loud, but he had that 20-year Tim Duncan career.
How dare you?
hurt me to say it out loud. But again, I think it's just he wants to hoop. If someone just promises him, hey, you can hoop, we won't bother you with anything, he will do it for however long he can get out there. But as long as he's bothered with the business side, I feel like he hates that so much.
Okay, the basketball history podcast. Let's bring it back to the shoes. I'm just kidding. No, because we're just running back. We're running on time. But, like, what's the KD you would have to play if you had to start an NBA career and you have one season to wear a Kevin Durant model in your hypothetical basketball season? What pair are you wearing? And you can give a why or not, but I personally, I'm going to go with the KD 10. It's just in a vacuum. Saw a lot of players wear that shoe. A lot of great Warriors colorway. I like the outsole. Looks very comfy. I have a pair in the closet. They're really fun looking. I'm going with KD 10. Anybody else have a basketball shoe they're going to go play with?
I got one. I'm going to go 7 because I actually played that one. I played a ton of pickup ball in the 7. It was actually super comfortable. And that's just the one I felt the most comfortable in from between all the ones I've played in before. So I got to go 7.
I'll go KD 15. It's got inspirations from my beloved Air Jet Flight Max, apparently. It's very comfy. It allows me to do my best impression of trying to get 8 points a quarter, where I'm more of a gentleman's 1.3 points per quarter, but who's
respectable,
counting?
Respectable, sir.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it's also a personal shoe because that specific colorway that I'm sharing on the video, I had a friend that designed the shoe, I had a friend that did the colors, and then I had a friend that did the graphic design. And I'm a big proponent of supporting your people. So it was the rare occasion where I could buy one shoe and appease three friendships. So you got to make sure that you do that from a Mike Guillory perspective. Nick, how about you? What's the shoe that you're looking
for? That's a three-pointer, man.
Three the hard way.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, before I get into that, I'm going to say, like, I don't think people actually know this, and I don't even know if I've told you guys this, but before I started, like, working and writing and doing sneaker shit online, I actually wear-tested shoes for Nike for, like, 6.5 years, and mostly basketball, because I was playing a lot back then, but this is, like, before Twitter, before – really, it was, like, forums only at that time, and one of the shoes that I got to wear test was actually like a hybrid KD 4, which, so to your point about the materials on the KD 4, this was kind of like half of the Hyperfuse design and then the back half of the KD 4, but it was made out of leather and the whole side of it, since this is a wear test shoe, like I'll try to find some pictures. I don't have them anymore, but I do know who has them, but I don't know if he wants his name out there with it. So,
Philip Knight.
Yeah. Basically, the whole side of the shoe was Velcro. So instead of the strap coming to that one point, you could go up or down on the side of the shoe. And it was a really interesting, like you get weird stuff sometimes when you're wear testing, but, that was just like a crazy story, and I completely forgot about it until we started talking about this. But I would say the KD 12. The KD 12 is like the last KD that I bought a couple pairs of. I think it's just, I don't know, like aesthetically, it's kind of like middle of the road. But I got a pair sent to me by YouTube, strangely enough. Yeah, and then I made a video about it, and then I went and bought another pair, two more pair, which is not how it's supposed to work. Like, I'm a terrible influencer. If that's how,
being an influencer,
if that's how everybody else works, then they'd all be broke like me. But
that's drug dealer that you get the first hit.
Yeah, his own supply.
But also, we ought to give dabs on the way out here to KD's, to the Lions' willingness to try some god awful bullshit. So there's a KD6 high top with that's like a throwback to KD's like fake glasses era with the blue jeans and like the Stop. Red plaid shirt. High top says KD embossed in the back. Ugh. There's a couple different embossed KD shoes. They've tried some weird, I would say borderline unethical things.
Dude, Elite 8. Kevin Durant shoes. Yeah, I was going to say, was that neoprene boot?
You mean the ride? What is it? Oh, crap. I've already forgotten the term, but riding boots, essentially.
Yeah. So
if you're dressaging, boots. Making sure your horse is crip walking, as Snoop Dogg told me in a viral clip, that's the shoe for you.
They've done lifestyle with pony hair. They've done
denim.
Multiple denim. Not just one denim.
What this, KD? What KDs were denim? I don't remember.
Remember
this.
The denim?
You don't remember
sixes?
The Canadian tuxedo sevens?
Not just that, but look up the KD six NSW.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah,
and that's just one of them. Like there's a couple, and then
I brought the LeBron 11 denims at that time. Sorry.
Yeah, those were cool. The KDs were ugly because they made the six a high top. They slapped denim on one. They slapped plaid on another one. They put pony hair on. I'm like. Man. Smoking crack.
They put a vulcanized soul on it. They did some weird, like, let's take the KD line.
Now, you know what that tells me? They were seeing into the future, because if that doesn't strike you as Old Town Road anything, I don't know what will.
No, nah, man, that was swag era right there. That's when people had their fake glasses on, their flat brim trucker, or their snapbacks and denim jackets. They were right on point, but God, they were ugly. I never couldn't even see myself in a pair of those.
Yeah, that's
Katie,
what a time.
Thank you for the time and all the other shoes you wore. And this one last thing I thought was a fun fact. Allegedly, the KD 1 is based off of his favorite shoe, the 2K4 Huarache, which is like my favorite shoe. So
that makes a lot of sense.
I can see it.
Well, I mean, I think that's like the perfect outro question. If you're listening, you made it this far. What shoe are you basing your first signature shoe off of?
Hopefully it's not the 6 NXT or whatever it's called. Please don't do that to yourself.
NSW, sir. NSW.
What does that even mean? Is that just Nike sportswear?
It's Nike sportswear.
It's the shorthand because you can't bother to say sportswear.
It's like, okay.
I'm basing mine off of the Croc.
Get out.
If Skechers can do it, why can't Croc? They can have some crazy React shit. You never know. Sport mode, you know, you're ready to play, going to sport mode.
my daughter's vocabulary has included the phrase sport mode, and it's exclusively to the Croc and that lifestyle. So
you've won as a father.
I don't know if I've won, but I would, in the congressional sense, I would still like to give whatever time I have remaining to Robbie so he can continue to filibuster on his Croc inspiration.
Oh gosh.
Are there other aspects of life that are considered sport mode? So Campbell,
are we trying to get that explicit tag on this podcast episode?
Oh, yeah.
If you have small children, stop listening now.
Not that. How much time do we have?
Let Robbie just go. Let him go.
Let us go. Where can they find everybody at? Speaking
of
sports
mode. I go into straight up Bubba Gump mode where I start listing off shrimp.
Gumbo.
Hates the shrimp.
All right, y'all. We got to get out of here. We appreciate y'all. You know how to find us. Links are in the description. Thanks for rocking with us. We'll catch you on the next episode. Also, thank you for putting up with us for 5 years and 500,000 some odd downloads. We appreciate you.
Woo!
Catch you on the next one. Peace.
See ya.
Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.